My name is Brandon Presley. I'm a graduate intern student with the COVID-19 Archive at Arizona State University. Today is March 9th, 2021, and the time is 8:25 p.m. And I'm speaking with Josh Colson. So I wanted to ask you a question about your pandemic experience and about what you do, what you've been doing during the pandemic. But before I do, I'd like to ask for your consent to record this response for the COVID-19 Archive. COVID-19 Archive is a digital archive at Arizona State that is collecting pandemic experiences. Do I have your consent to record your response and add it to the archive?
Yes.
All right. As we begin, would you mind telling your name, your religious background, and where you pastor?
Yeah, my name is Josh Colson. I'm affiliated with the Free Will Baptist denomination, the National Association of Free Will Baptists, and I pastor Brandon's Chapel Church in Stewart County, Tennessee, kind of on the northwest edge of Middle Tennessee.
Is that a small or big county for Tennessee?
Yeah, it's one of the smallest counties in the state, so about 13,000 people in the whole county and about 300 people in the actual town where I pastor.
A very, very rural area.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So going back to when the pandemic first began in 2020, how did you think the pandemic would impact your work as a pastor, if at all?
Yeah, I didn't think that it would have much of an impact, or at least not a lasting impact, even from my initial notification to the congregation that we were going to be suspending in-person gatherings for a time. I thought that it would just be 2 weeks. 15 days to slow the spread was the going phrase at the beginning of the pandemic, and so I guess maybe in my naivete, I thought that 15 days would be back to normal. That just didn't, obviously, that's not what transpired, and so there's been a lot more changes than I anticipated. I didn't think there'd be many changes, but there have been, obviously, along the way. So
yeah, I think that's just been part of everyone's pandemic experience, to be quite honest. So as a precursor to the next question, what percentage of your congregation would you say are either over 65 or have pre-existing conditions?
Yeah, if I was to ballpark it, I'd say probably about 25 to 30% of the congregation are over the age of 65, and then probably another 5 to 10% have pre-existing conditions, either cancer survivors or diabetics, et cetera.
Solid third of the congregation, at least.
Yeah, okay. A solid third. Yeah.
So as it became clear that COVID-19 was indeed a very serious and contagious virus, what steps did you and your church take to protect the vulnerable in the congregation? I know you mentioned you suspended services for a time, but what all did you all do during that time, and then what are you continuing to do?
Yeah, so like I said, initially we planned to close down for 2 weeks, and that turned into a longer period of time than that. So we closed in-person gatherings totally for 10 weeks, I believe, and during that time we moved to recording services online and posting them to YouTube and Facebook, social media, for at least the vast majority of people affiliated with the congregation to view. And I would try and visit with people kind of socially distanced outside of their houses and just try to encourage them that way. But yeah, so just moving totally virtual or through telecommunications for those initial 10 weeks.
Gotcha. I assume you all are still wearing masks and trying to social distance and things like that, for the most part, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So what impact, if any, do you think closing the doors had on your congregation and on your parishioners more broadly?
I don't know if I can speak to their internal state for all of them, but just broadly speaking about, the structure of the church, the makeup of the church, We, as I assume a lot of other churches, lost kind of attendees. So there's always this dynamic in a church between the committed members and then on the one hand, and then kind of people who show up and they're there and we love to have them there, but they're not as consistent. And we lost a lot of the ones that weren't consistent since we've opened up. So I think that affected us negatively in that time. And it's just, it threw a lot of our like catechesis classes or small groups out of whack and not able to meet. So it's just been a difficult time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What impact did closing your church, even for a temporary time, have on you as the pastor?
Yeah. So in some ways, if somebody's looking on it from the outside, they might think it's easier because you're not meeting the congregation, you know, three or four times a week. But from my perspective, in a lot of ways, it made it more difficult, especially because I am not very tech savvy. So having to navigate all this, you know, video and internet media outlets was difficult learning curve for me. And then, you know, not being able to have kind of close, more intimate communications with people. It's been a very trying year.
Yeah. Okay. So you kind of touched on this a minute ago with some of the, less committed members, or less committed attendees, coming to, church. But what long-term impact do you believe online worship services will have on your church? And like I said, you've already kind of touched on that, but more broadly, do you think this is going to be something felt by all churches and various religious groups, that they're going to see a lot of members kind of not come back, or a lot of your semi-faithful attendees not come back?
Yeah, I think that is likely the case among all sorts of churches and faith communities across the spectrum. Thing about online services, you know, I see the good in them, and I'm thankful that we were able to have some means to share a religious experience among the congregation on the one hand, and I'm thankful through the means of social media. You know, as a Christian, I believe the gospel is good news and needs to be given to the world, and so I know that, you know, just through mass means, people were able to hear the good message. But I also, you know, recognize this necessity of the church as a body of people gathered together. So I personally have made the decision not to do live recorded services once we reopened congregation. Some people might disagree with that decision. Obviously, many in other churches would. But I have decided for my congregation and where I'm at that I don't want to give people the option to stay away from the church. I understand, you know, in certain times where we need to do that, but on the whole, I think it could have a really negative impact and really hurt the corporate dimension of the church.
So we did touch on this as well a little bit earlier, but I think this question is a little more specific. So how did the pandemic specifically affect your ability to actually go visit with and minister to your parishioners? Because so a lot of, for pastors, a big part of the job is getting to talk with, getting to visit with, and getting to sit in the homes of those people who you would say, you know, you're kind of their spiritual leader in one sense. So how did the pandemic affect your ability to actually do your job in that sense?
Yeah. In the initial shutdown phase of the first 2 or 3 weeks, when, you know, so much of the coronavirus was news and we didn't know a lot about it, I just shut down visitation completely for a time and was just using the phone or video chat or whatever to keep in touch with people. Then as it progressed, I got more comfortable once we, you know, learned about social distancing and masks I got more comfortable in like going to people's houses, and I would visit with them outside. You know, the beginning of the pandemic kind of fell at a good time to be able to visit people outside. Now that's kind of that trailed off once we got into the cold months of the year, and you're still not really comfortable going into people's houses right now. So as far as parishioners are concerned and their houses and stuff, in some ways it didn't change a whole lot. The biggest thing for me that changed was not being able to go into hospitals and nursing homes, which is such a big part of the ministry and what things that I love to do. And so not being able to be there with the parishioners, for instance, just this past year had two parishioners undergoing cancer treatments at the same time, and not being able to be there with them was so difficult for me and for them. And so, yeah, it was a tough time as far as visitation on that end of things is concerned.
Absolutely. So in the everyday lives of your parishioners, in this kind of, I don't know, this semi, being able to semi visit people and semi, you know, kind of go over there and socially distance, and in your conversations, how do you think the pandemic has affected the people that you come in contact with, most specifically your parishioners, like in their everyday life? Have you had parishioners lose jobs, lose family members, things like that?
Yeah. I have been fortunate myself to not have any deaths within my congregation from coronavirus, but I have had people who've lost loved ones. You know, as so many people all across the globe have lost loved ones during this time. So I've definitely had to help provide some pastoral care in those circumstances, which is doubly hard right now. Even if they didn't lose a loved one from the coronavirus, if they lost a loved one from something else, they couldn't grieve in a way that's normal with the funeral and stuff during the coronavirus. So trying to be there and minister to them in their time of need has been interesting, coming up with kind of creative ways to just be there and visit with them, you know, in a way that's not culturally normal. Mm. And then I think that the biggest group affected, or the group affected the most, I should say, would be the elderly people who just couldn't, you know, get out, didn't feel comfortable getting out. And, you know, we several widows and widowers in the church, and they get so depressed when they're alone by themselves. So I always try and visit them, especially from a distance, of course, and to just encourage them along the way. And yeah, so I hope that answered.
Yeah, I think that's really good. What I was getting at, and I think you answered it, like I said, was just kind of seeing the everyday life of the people that you come in contact with and seeing how it's actually affected people, individually speaking and on a personal level. So how has COVID-19 impacted your church's ability to participate in various religious ceremonies, like singing, traditional Christian things like partaking of the Eucharist, baptism, things like that?
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, our services have remained relatively the same. But a couple areas that are different. We do still have congregational singing, but we suspended our choir during this time because they want people singing in such close contact and things like that. And also, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we moved to kind of prepackaged communion cups with the juice and the wafer, which is kind of unfortunate from a theological and just ecclesial standpoint, but you know, it's necessary during this time. Another thing we've done is something really common in Baptist churches is to have a time of fellowship kind of before the service, of handshaking and hugging and such. And we had obviously to do away with that during this time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Before the pandemic, how did your church celebrate major, you know, Christian holidays like Christmas and Easter? These are typically services that you would bring a lot of people in or you'd have a special event for. So how did you all handle that? How did you all deal with that before the pandemic?
Yeah, I guess, you know, in some respects, as a low church Baptist, you know, a lot of like ins and outs of the services necessarily wouldn't be changed, but around the time of those kind of high holidays, we have, you know, kind of just throw out all the stops. So Easter, you got Holy Week leading up, have a Good Friday service with several of the churches here in the community, have a sunrise service, and of course our Easter service. You'd have a large number of people at. And then for Christmas, we'd have a Christmas pageant and all sorts of Christmas parties and Christmas charity events going on at the church. And then, of course, the week before Christmas is always a big service as well as far as having visitors and the like. So I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good picture, I guess, of what your church was doing, you know, pre-COVID-19. So what have you all, how have you all adapted? So the past year we've had, I guess, Easter and Christmas both with in a COVID-19 era. So how have you all adapted to doing those things within the pandemic parameters, so to say?
Yeah, well, Easter, you know, kind of fell last... Or last year kind of fell right towards the beginning of coronavirus stuff. So we didn't do a whole lot for Easter. Another thing we would normally do that slipped my mind a moment ago was Easter egg hunt. We have a big community-wide Easter egg hunt, and we, you know, just weren't able to have that at the time, and we couldn't have in-person gathering at the time. So we just did a recorded service. And I think that was nice, given the circumstances, but, you know, obviously not the same as meeting in person. And then Christmas, too, was pretty glum. We had to cancel pageants, cantatas, and just couldn't do it because of the time it fell. It was kind of surging, you know, in the midst, coronavirus was surging in the midst of winter, so a lot of that was scaled back. We did have a service and did have some visitors and stuff, but... But definitely scaled back.
Yeah, that's understandable. So in what ways before the pandemic, again, was your church active in your community? And how has the pandemic changed or shifted or affected your ability to actually continue to be active and continue to serve your community?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that aside from just helping people, you know, kind of affiliated with the church, we actively partner with a number of agencies, Ministry Alliance, for instance, Stewart County or the Good Samaritan, which is kind of a food pantry / clothes closet for underprivileged persons in the county. And we partner with them financially or on a volunteer basis to provide assistance to those in need. And as far as the pandemic affecting that, I think in some ways the pandemic actually gave my congregation an even greater opportunity to serve the community. Like, for instance, we had a Thanksgiving meal where we took food to shut-ins or underprivileged families, which is great. We had we developed this card writing ministry for people who are shut in, you know, that we know can't get out, or just elderly, you know, not necessarily shut in for health reasons, but if you're elderly and don't want to be out during this time, and we know they get lonely, so we've kind of developed a lot of different ministries to help with that, and still being active in those other ministries that we listed before. So in some ways, it's actually causes to be even more involved in the community, which I think has been, if there's any positive come out of all this, that might be it for us.
That's great. So most people don't fully understand the financial burdens that churches and other religious and faith institutions do carry. But churches, you know, like everyone else, still have bills to pay regarding maintenance, utilities, loans, salaries to employees, among, you know, a host of other expenses that could come up. So how has your church's financial situation been affected by the pandemic? It's nice to hear that you were still able to financially partner with these other groups, but how has it also just affected where your church is?
Yeah. Surprisingly, our giving, if you would have told me this at the beginning of the pandemic, I would have thought you were crazy, but our giving was actually up last year, 2020, over the previous year. So it was up in 2020 over 2019, even in the midst of everything that happened, even with losing parishioners. So I don't know if that is people in my congregation were spurred to give more by everything that's going on in the world. I don't know if maybe some of my parishioners' financial situations just changed and they could afford to give more. I don't know what happened, but for us, we actually saw an increase, which was good as well.
I know you can really only speak to your church, but have you heard about other churches and how they've, or not just churches, but faith institutions, how they've been impacted? Have other ones in your area gone down, or how's that been affected, you know?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, aside from being pastor at local church, I'm also assistant moderator of our denominational association here locally, and serve on the presbytery, so I have a lot of contact with other churches. And I think that, you know, sadly, we at Brandon Chapel are the exception and not the rule. I know that many churches lost members. I did mention, you know, we lost people, but we didn't lose any of our actual, like, members of the church, just kind of the people who were not as committed. But other churches lost actual members. They lost those attendees who would come, you know, maybe just when they felt like it, but who regularly contributed when they did. Mm-hmm. And so I know that other churches have experienced a loss in income and being affiliated with denomination. I know that a lot of our denominational agencies, missions agencies, or kind of social welfare agencies and colleges and stuff have suffered. Because churches have had to make cuts, and understandably so, outside giving has to be cut before you cut the inside expenses. And so, yeah, I think that it's negatively affected a lot of churches, to be sure.
Yeah. So how has leadership within your specific denomination reacted to the pandemic, with some churches really, like you said, struggling? Have they kind of stepped in and helped, or have they just kind of sat back and observed?
Yeah. Well, I've been blessed. I'm sure this is the case for a lot of denominations, but for the National Association of Free Will Baptists in particular, our denominational leadership has just been tremendous at providing moral support and support on the ground to pastors during this time. Our executive secretary of our denomination, kind of the CEO, if you will, has been very good about sending out weekly encouragements to pastors and churches. And also, towards the beginning of the pandemic, he would send out weekly guidelines trying to recommend to churches what they can do, you know, in accordance with CDC guidelines, but trying to, you know, to dumb it down for people like me so that we could understand that. And same with the state with the leaders of the Free Will Baptists in the state of Tennessee, have just been on top of everything, trying to assist churches as much as they can, and I can't thank them enough.
So as we kind of conclude and wrap this thing up, how quickly do you anticipate, or do you really hope, that your church will be able to open back up to regular worship habits? And I know that the vaccine is part of that as well. Do you have a lot of people receiving the vaccine, and are you anticipating that that's going to really speed going back to normal soon?
Yeah, I think that we are getting ready to turn the corner for the good. So I don't know fact, but just judging off of who I do know, I'd say that over about 50% of those who attend our morning worship services have received at least half a vaccine right now, or at least half the dosage, myself included. I work part-time with the school system, and so I was able to get it under the I forget the term, necessary worker.
Essential
employee. I guess essential depends on who you're asking, I guess. But thankfully, was able to get it. And I know many others have. What the elderly have, I think all the elderly in the church have received it. And we got a lot of people that work in the school system and nurses and things like that. So, I don't know that we're gonna like just bounce back and things are gonna get back to normal like they were before, but I do have hope that we will be able to build back and regain some sense of normalcy with by the summer. I hope.
Yeah.
I hope.
So then, I guess you would also say that you think your church will be able to effectively come back from this without having, hopefully at least, without having to close its doors or anything like that.
Yeah, I do.
As you've said, you're giving you may be the anomaly, but your giving's up and things like that. So you're not going to have to, like I said, shut down or anything like that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you for allowing me to ask you these questions.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.